Good morning, Curtis. How are you?
I'm good. Is this Dan?
It's Rob. We got Rob, Timmy, Jim, and maybe Jeff today. Dan's out of the office today.
Okay. No worries. Did Dan ever take that vacation?
Today would be day one of the next 2 weeks.
Okay. Good. Well,
I put the conference him in on the call, but he said, that's okay, go on without me. So here we are.
Okay. All right. So he's laying out on the beach sipping Mai Tais. Okay. I get it. That's good. Well,
not exactly. That's next week, but.
That's next week. Okay.
Yeah, he's home on a rainy day here in Massachusetts.
Okay. All right. Well, are we ready to get started then?
Get started.
Yep.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, look, this week we hit a number of topics. And what I'd like you to really try to anchor on is the enthusiastically endorsed model, the bank of trust. I want to also key in on centers of influence, and those would be the three key takeaways for today's discussion. So, but before we kind of get into that, let's go back, try to recap, answer any of your questions regarding any of the materials that have been covered thus far, you know, in terms of your grasp, your level of understanding, or any of the areas that you think, you know, we might need to spend a minute or two kind of reviewing, okay? So I'm going to throw out that question to you all and ask if there's anything that's on your mind.
I think I'm good. Anybody else have anything they want to have a question on that they're not 100% on?
Pretty clear at this point.
I think The only thing now, and it'll be ongoing for a little bit, is just the getting the whole calendar straightened out, which something Tammy and myself are working on, mostly Tammy.
Okay.
She's going to be running it, but we had a conference call with Cindy last week.
Perfect.
To go over that, which was good. Yeah, Tammy's got a much better understanding of it now and how it works. And I'll let Tammy speak to it, but it looks like it's something we're going to use rather than the Supernova calendar where the Tammy put together that we're using now.
Okay.
Looks like the functionality is nice and the option to print off that schedule and then get it to the client looks like it's going to be a nice thing to have. So,
okay. So, Tammy, how do you feel you're doing with the scheduler?
Good, very good. We made some decisions on Friday, so the time that Dan's out, I'm going to be working on it in between working on everything else. So,
now, how do you all feel about one person kind of being in control of the calendar and the scheduler, meaning client comes in, he's on the scheduler. Client leaves, they're on the scheduler. Prospect identified, they're on the scheduler. Vacation time, it's on the scheduler. You know, that there is a one spot that controls the activity for the team.
I think what we're planning on doing, I haven't looked at that part of it yet, is just doing it for the clients because we have Red Tail that we put all our plans and stuff on.
Right, yeah, I'm familiar with Red Tail.
Yeah, so we use that for communication, notes, you know,
okay,
all that kind of stuff. But this spreadsheet will organize, you know, what clients are coming in, what month, and potentially being able to go over certain items like estate and that type of stuff.
Good.
I think once it's up and running, it's going to be great. Just the way it's the way the schedule's laid out, that this, you know, the Supernova way, where clients will have their, eventually everyone will have their schedule for the next year or two in advance.
Right.
And, you know, before, where Tammy was, you know, running the schedule the way we used to run it, if she wasn't here when a client was in, she'd have to follow up with them later to schedule their next review. So, I think it's going to work out well for us.
That's good. Because think about, what are we trying to build toward now? What we're trying to build, I like to kind of sometimes be repetitious with the rationale, is we're trying to free up time, get organized in such a way that we can start building business development into the occasion, into the equation. So that's kind of where we're headed. Okay. So at this particular point, let's talk about what is an enthusiastically endorsed provider. This is someone that your client has been working with that they feel they can enthusiastically endorse. Now, if they can't enthusiastically endorse the CPA, the attorney, or any other professional, that's an opportunity for you to step in with your list of at least three people that come highly recommended that can be enthusiastically endorsed. Okay? Now, what's important here is that you don't just give a name, you make a personal introduction of that individual. That individual has also been educated by you, the rule of reciprocity, that, you know, you're not going to just hand off names, give them business, if they're not going to be a part of the equation. So these are folks that have been trained, they understand how you work, and they're happy to accept and give referrals. All right. Now that's the real definition of an enthusiastically endorsed provider. So let's stop right there and see if there's any questions, first of all, on kind of the apparatus associated with the enthusiastically endorsed provider.
I have a quick question. So we have an accountant that we use. We've sent a lot of clients over to him. There's been a couple incidences where people have owed on their taxes and maybe have said something negative. What do you do in that case when you've continually referred clients to a specific CPA or, you know, attorney, and then you get one complaint, but everybody else is happy? I mean, do you stay with them?
Well, look, I think, you know, one of the first things that you have to do is you got to look at both sides. You got to look at the client's perspective and see whether or not they're justified. You have to talk it over with the individual that you made the referral to, the CPA, and see if there's common ground. Sometimes in the middle of these scenarios, you are being kind of the arbiter. If the relationship is beyond repair, then what you want to do is you want to say, hey, look, to the CPA, not every relationship is going to work. We're shooting for 110%, but sometimes we know that you know, something is, you know, interferes with that. So we're going to, if the two of you can't seem to patch this up, then no harm done. You're in good standing with so many of our relationships, and we're going to recommend that this particular client seek counsel with another relationship.
All right, makes sense.
Yeah, and that's, Tim is, you know, referring to a specific instance with some, a husband and wife that are both clients that we referred to the CPA. They were first year clients of his. They both just retired. They had a lot going on. Two incomes to, you know, five or six different incomes between severance packages, IRAs,
right,
part-time jobs. And so for the first time in their lives, they owed $5,000 instead of getting $5,000 back. They're both not the brightest.
Right.
I will say that. But the accountant, the CPA, I think made it seem to them like it was our fault. Because
okay,
we weren't withholding enough on their IRA distributions that was the problem, when it wasn't. So Dan's going to be meeting with this CPA when he gets back from vacation.
Okay.
Go to Supernova with him and basically see if he's on board or not. If he's not, we'll find somebody else.
Yeah. So, because this has got to be reciprocal.
Right.
And
that's kind of like it can never happen again.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think if you handle it, you know, the first thing I like to do when, you know, confronted with a conflict is I like to listen. You know, I like to find out why they feel that way, what happened, what could have been avoided, give them the best advice and counsel. And if they feel uncomfortable with the CPA relationship, then we will move forward. But look, this is a quirky year as far as taxes are concerned.
Yeah.
And for the most part, people are feeling like they're having to pay more than they thought. So a little quirky.
This incident was last year, but yeah, we're getting a lot of that too.
I'm sure.
But everyone's been happy with the only problem with the attorney, I mean with the CPA, is like Tammy said, we've given him what?
30, 40, 50.
More, yeah. 50 plus referrals that he does their taxes now. Never one referral back. He's a good CPA. The only complaint we've had is a couple clients have said he charges too much. But,
okay,
you know, people
think
they should
get
their taxes done for free, a lot of people, I think, so.
Yeah. Well, here's my feeling is, if you're referring 30 to 40 people, and this guy is giving you one,
none.
then
zero.
Well, the attorney we work with hasn't given us anything either, and we've given him a ton of cases. But
that's just starting, and I think there'll be some. What's the word?
Reciprocation.
Reciprocation processing there. So that's that's to be determined.
Right.
Yeah,
you got to sit and have that heart-to-heart talk.
Yeah,
you know, look
at home. So,
here we are. We've referred 30 to 40 people, and you know, there must be something about our organization that you don't quite feel comfortable referring clients to us. Or maybe you don't know how to go about it. And so what you have to do in each case is you've got to educate them on Supernova, the service model, and how to give personal introductions. Okay. Did I send you over that? Well, actually, you're going to get that in about and by the section number 9, you're going to get that VIPSA model, which is going to be your model for getting referrals, but it's also going to be an educational capability on how to educate the COIs, Centers of Influence, on how to provide you with referrals. Believe me, these people don't know how to do it.
No, they're
generally not sales kind of folks. You know, look, you do all the structure, you do the rebalancing, you put together the portfolios, and then you have to close the client on the right path. So most of those folks have never had one iota of training whatsoever, and they're going to be happy to get it from you. You're going to help these folks be better deliverers of your capabilities. But that, to me, that's an excellent, excellent question. So thank you for that. All right. The second topic that we wanted to talk about was the training your centers of influence to generate referrals for you. And before we get onto that subject, the range of enthusiastically endorsed introductions. In the manual, there is a sheet, and it covers attorneys and tax, estate planning, family law, elder care, which is becoming a big, big issue. CPAs, physicians, and it gets into a range of medical practitioners. And sometimes, you know, you find out that they're seeing a doctor and you just say, what doctor are you seeing for that particular thing? And you just write it down. And it'll come up later in terms of referral. Real estate agents, commercial, residential, car salesmen, maybe not the Chevy sales guy, but it's the Mercedes, BMW, that deal with high-end clients. The personal trainers, you know, have a list, nannies, veterinarians, home sitters, because what that's going to do, it's going to enable the client to feel that you are totally wired in your community in terms of these services. And the question you're always going to ask, can you enthusiastically endorse the vet? Can you enthusiastically endorse the electrician, the plumber? Now, you can take this and build your golden Rolodex of enthusiastically endorsed introductions to a whole nother level. I would like you to just get started, you know, knowing that there are 6 to 7, you know, providers with each client that you can call upon. Okay?
Now, is that, Curtis, something that information comes up organically from the clients, like you mentioned with, you know, the client mentions that they, you know, just had knee surgery and you ask them who the doctor was, or is that something you think the advisor or maybe even one of the, you know, the staff people, one of the CSAs, takes a couple minutes with the clients and, you know, goes through the list, you know, one by one, doctors, CPAs, attorneys.
Yeah, I think it can happen both ways. And keep in mind, it doesn't happen like immediately. It's like you have one call and then you walk away with 20 names. You know, make this a part of the review process. If every time you did a review, which is 4, and you got 5 names, you'd have 20 people in a year. Okay? So I would do it that way. All right. Good question. Excellent.
It just and just to go back on the COI question.
Okay.
You know, we're trying to build a relationship, let's say with an attorney, and like this, the guy we're using now, we're referring a lot of clients to him to do trust work, and we will be referring a lot more to him. And Dan has had him in the office, and Dan spent some, you know, time with him, showing him what we do and how we do it in our wealth guide system. Do you ever just leave it at that, or do you actually ask for, impress for referrals, and, you know, kind of put it up front that they you expect it to be a two-way street?
I would think of it this way. And I throw out a number. Look, you know, we're a growing organization. We are managing in excess of $150 million in client assets, whatever number you want to use. And we like to have a cross-referral relationship
mm-hmm.
with the professionals that we work with. Let me explain our service model and how we work. So you go on, you explain the service model, your 1242, what you deliver, and you ask, are you able to fully participate with us in a cross-referral center of influence capability?
Yeah, that's what I'm getting to, just kind of coming right out and asking. I mean, Dan's, you know, work with the CPA that we just talked about using now, a trust attorney that, you know, we sent a lot of clients to and got zero referrals back. It seems like it's, you know, it's implied, but these CPAs and trust attorneys don't pick up on the hint, or they're not aware that, you know, one hand washes.
These are not salespeople.
So like Dan said, the first referral we get back from a professional will be the next one will be the first one. It's Dan.
And you know what I would do? I would, you know, keep a log.
Yeah.
And to date, we've received. We've given out 5 personal introductions, and we've received 1.
Yeah.
And the other thing that there's a corollary to this is that you have to educate them on how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You wanna give them the process. Now, I have a model for you to be able to do that I'm going to coach you on
mm-hmm.
so that you are able to sit down with the COI and take them through the process, which isn't going to be long, on how to do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think in cases like this, you can't really wing it. They need to know exactly how to go about doing it.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, and it's just in the past, it's just one of those things where I know Dan has been frustrated, like, you know, really? I know you can give us one referral, yet we've yet to see one. And it's,
right.
You know, and it's extra work for the office to, you know, send someone to a trust attorney and they need info from us, and same with the CPAs, you know, and in the end, Dan always says, well, you know, we haven't gotten referrals from these people, but we're just, you know, we're doing something that's in the best interest of our client. And that's obviously the most important thing, but it's frustrating when you.
Oh, yeah.
Anything back. So.
And we're going to change the narrative. And the narrative is going to be about getting personal introductions, not referrals, personal introductions.
Right.
Because that's the that's going to be the seamless way to get names for you to follow up on. And then once we get into the what's called the 90-day free look, you're going to give that personal introduction an opportunity to be treated as if they were a client for a period of 90 days. They're going to be on the scheduler, and any time between, you know, week one to 90 days, they can convert to a client.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all part of the process. So some of your questions, I want you to repeat them again when we get into coaching you on how to convert and extract out these names from your centers of influence.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So very, very, very good. Right now, you're just trying to identify the sources. All right. So back to so centers of influence. You know, the thing that you should recognize with the center of influence is this might be a person who is head of the chamber. And in every conversation with a center of influence, you've got to be able to describe what you do for people, how you do it, why it makes sense to utilize you. So I just want you to kind of think that if you happen to know the head of the chamber and they like you, you like them, and they want to see you do well, okay? And they can be CPAs, they can be attorneys, they can be head of the Kiwanis. You know, they can carry on a number of different relationships. Okay, so let me think, for example, just in my own network, okay? If you were to profile me, you'll find out that, you know, I've got an alumni association on LinkedIn that's got about, you know, 230,000 people, MBA about another 225. I'm in a nationwide, you know, fraternity that consists of professionals, doctors, lawyers. So if you were to tap in to my network, that's what you would be tapping into. There's one advisor who says, you know, is talking to me about a referral source. And I said, yeah, I got a good friend down in Los Angeles. He's the general counsel of Snapchat. You know, you get restricted stock, Rule 144 sale. You might want to talk to him. But if you didn't profile me and kind of find out what my extended network might be, you would never know. So here we are with all these looming relationships, and all we know about these people is that they have a little bit of money and they have an account with us, but we don't know a lot about them personally, and that's what you have to do, okay? That makes sense?
Yep.
All right. Okay. So the whole idea about the enthusiastically endorsed model is you build a system where you can generate introductions for those people, and you're creating real value for yourself. All right. The next thing, so we covered COIs, we covered the enthusiastically endorsed model. The other thing that I wanted to cover is how do you go about creating these 24-month topics? Look, every client is going to have a topic around portfolio construction, rebalancing the portfolio, asset allocation, planning, so on and so forth. Okay? Let's say those are kind of the easy ones. The other easy ones are they're going to want updates. What's the year ahead look like? What's the mid-year outlook? You know, and, you know, look, what's the impact of tariffs on pricing? What's that going to do to the stock market? People might want to have that discussion. So you're going to give that mid-year update where you're going to look at your research and create a dialogue around the topics. All right. Now, there's some ancillary topics that come up as a result of planning. It may be the titling of assets. You got the home and joint tenancy, but they got a living trust. They're underinsured, or the mortality tables have changed, and they can actually get more insurance without increasing their costs. So you're going to have an insurance review in there. Securities-based lending may come up as a means of wiping out consumer installment debt. So you're going to begin to look at some of the topics that come up as a result of planning, long-term care and so forth, and turn that into a 12 to 24-month educational topic list. Now, you're going to have these conversations, and some may not generate immediate income. That's not your goal. Your goal is to spend 10 minutes or so educating the client that you really are full service, that you do have some capabilities that they never even knew about. Okay? So what happens then is the client has a mortgage that needs to be refinanced, and they think about one of the topics that you had on that subject. So that's how that's supposed to work. So it could be beneficiary designation reviews, college planning, charitable gifting strategies, tax minimization strategies, economic topics, asset allocation adjustments, over-concentration in a particular, you know, sector. Okay? So that's what you should gather from this section. And the final kind of component, first of all, any questions on creating your agenda of topics and the rationale for it?
No, I think we're good on that.
Okay. Good. All right. Now, let's talk about the Bank of Trust. Again, this is a really, really, on the surface, a very small thing. And what it is the Bank of Trust is like having this savings account. Everything is not going to always go according to plan. But because of you and your connection with your clients, they give you a buy. You know, market goes down, they know that you're all over it, that you give them continuous feedback, you have your monthly calls. So the Bank of Trust is really about the client saying, hey, look, I know I could get it cheaper somewhere else, but I really like working with this team. I like working with this group. And so it's just a metaphor to remind you to build trust in your client relationships and creating the savings account that you draw on whenever something goes wrong. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes things do go wrong, but there's no bank of trust. So you want to create that bank of trust with your clients. So, and part of that is the service. It's all the little things that you pay attention to. Okay, so we've covered COIs, the enthusiastically endorsed model, the bank of trust, the scheduler, creating your 24-month calendar. What's on your mind based on, you know, what you kind of got out of the session today?
My takeaway is the just how to, you know, how Jeff and not just Dan and Jeff, but the staff would handle developing a case for referrals with the COIs.
Okay. Good. Very good.
I mean, you know, it's not something that's not just up to the advisors, but Dan had mentioned, you know, ideally you'd want a COI to come to our office to see
what we do,
how we do it, meet the staff, and be able to have the staff articulate to them, you know, what exactly we do.
Yeah, and these are their roles.
Build confidence in our professionalism and, you know, give them a confidence to refer clients to us. So.
Absolutely. Okay, so you're on the right track. All right. Well, look, that kind of concludes everything for today. I'm enjoying working with you all, and your attention and your focus, I think, is exceptional. And, you know, if you have any other questions or concerns, you know, send me an email. There certainly is more to come.
Yep, and it's, just on a closing note, we did on Friday get out the first batch of letters for segmentation of some of Dan's clients segmenting to Jeff and Jim.
Okay.
Those batch of those went out Friday. That's the first batch of letters, and you know, we'll see how many phone calls we get in the next few days once the letters hit.
Okay. Very good. Look, you're coming along nicely, and I'm enjoying working with you, and I look forward to our next call.
You too. You feeling good?
Hey, I'm feeling great.
Excellent.
Hard to believe, but
good to hear.
But I am feeling really good. My energy is coming back. I'm climbing stairs, you know, 4 or 5 times a day. Not overdoing it, but I'm supposed to walk, and so that's what I'm doing. No lifting weights, no strength training. Won't be doing that for probably 3 months, but the other part is coming good.
Excellent.
All right. Thanks for asking.
Oh, you're welcome.
Bye.
You guys
are
great.
Talk to you next week.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.